tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Johnson. AfterBuzz
TV. The destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, everybody, and happy Thursday. This is the Survivor Worlds Apart After Show at AfterBuzzTV.com for Season 30, Episode 12, My Word is My Bond. I'm your host, James Wallington, back in the studio. I've been absent a few weeks, and tonight I have two very wonderful special guests with me. I'll introduce the man to my left, William Yelton. He's a wonderful friend of mine. He's a super fan of Survivor and also hosts a game that simulates Survivor online.
Yeah, it's called Survivor Facebook, SF for short. I've been doing it for the past, 6 years, and I think it's, the closest one can get to actually being on the island. The head game's there. You played a couple last year. Would you agree with me?
I would definitely agree with you on that.
Good. Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, cool.
And then to his left, the beautiful Monica Padilla from Survivor Samoa and Survivor Second Chance Hopeful.
Fingers crossed.
We will definitely be talking more later on in the show today about why people should vote for you. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer, but...
I love it.
Well, cool. Let's dive into last night's episode, My Word is My Bond. The episode started off with Mike reflecting on the fact that he played his hidden immunity idol. He's a lot more vulnerable now for the first time since he had the idol in the game. So what were your thoughts as the episode kind of opened up with Mike and what his future was going to look like?
I'm shocked to see that he's still even in the game. I'm so proud of him that he's made it this far because he's come so close so many times and he's just this immunity winner every time, time after time after time. And so now it seems like at the beginning of the episode, this is it for Mike. It's done. It's over. And you're just hoping that he can pull through somehow.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I doubtful.
Agree. Yeah. No, I can't believe he's still here either. But can we actually go back for a second and talk about the auction where he kind of, you know, he's on the bottom
why
now
he's the
because
bad guy.
Of that move that he made. And it's very controversial. I think he made, well, I think his inkling was right, which was to make that controversial move where he didn't want to take the letter and he wanted to go for the advantage. I mean, he knew he was on the bottom.
Right.
And so I don't fault him for that. What I do fault him for was for going back on, you know, what he was going to do. He basically revealed all of his cards and everyone knows now that he's a player. And so that kind of really is what started him being on the bottom. But I don't know if that was actually the reason or if that was just, like, the reason that everyone is saying because they know that they can't beat Mike if they bring him to the end.
It could be just they were looking for a reason to not want Mike in the game anymore because everyone just liked him so much that they're like, we just need a reason to, like, not want him around anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that move alone is why he's been everyone's public enemy.
He's kind of the guy of the maybes. Like, I might do this. No, I'm not. I might do this. No, I'm not. And it's funny because you see it happen a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's a little bit of it, too. Never really knowing where you sit with him and how it's going to go.
Yeah, kind of shot himself in the foot.
Right, because he's been right all along. I mean, he's always tried to tell his allies that, hey, look, they're gunning for you. Rodney and his, you know, new alliance, they're wanting you out. I mean, how many times has he told Dan and Sierra this, and they just, you know, they think that he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
They think that the game has gotten to him. So, I don't know, but that's basically where it started, where, you know, Mike is this, you know, guy that everyone wants out. So, I mean, I'm pulling for him, and I think that most people watching this season, I don't know, I don't want to speak for everybody,
I'm pulling for Mike. He's like an underdog, but doing amazing as an underdog.
I mean, if he miraculously makes it into the final three, it's
and
game
wins.
Over.
Yeah. Do you think he will?
Bye. I'm sorry?
Do you think he will miraculously make it to the final three?
I don't know. I hope so. I mean, you never know at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And now where he sits with Carolyn, which we're getting into now, it's... pretty close, I think.
It's just, like, with the people that he's left with, I just cannot imagine anyone else, like, taking it, you know, to a win other than maybe Carolyn.
Right.
But I'm sure we'll get to that.
Well, we saw Carolyn talking and Dan talking right in the beginning of this episode. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on Dan, but I'm not a fan. I have not liked him since the very first episode because the one interview that rubbed me the wrong way is when he said, I'm here to, like, be remembered. And to me, it's like, okay, his head's not in the game. He's just here to be a character, like Russell Hands. Are people that are like, have notoriety when the show's over, like Rupert, you know? It's
or even Max this season. Yeah. Who was just worried about, you know, really wanting to be a character versus, you know, actually playing, you know, the game.
But he's, like, bad-mouthing Dan, which I think is so funny. He's like, Mike has proven to be selfish and self-centered. To hell with Mike. I'm in a position of power. And I'm like, Dan is so delusional.
So delusional.
I can't wrap my mind around, like, how you can be that delusional in a game that you've been a fan of for 30 seasons.
Delusional Dan.
Delusional, I like that.
I can't even take credit for that. I think someone did hashtag that. I don't know if it was Eliza or someone, but delusional Dan, because that's exactly what he is.
I like it.
But when you're out in the island, though, how easy is it to just, you know, you got your allies and you just trust them? I mean, that's what Dan's in. He's like, you know what? I have my plan. I'm sticking to it. I mean, how easy is it to fall into that?
It is and it isn't at the same time. Because I think, for me anyway, and this has been a big thing for me going back in or possibly going back in, is following my gut. And you always have that gut instinct that tells you, don't trust them.
So Dan just needs
to
get a new gut.
Usually it's right. Yeah. Well,
I think women I think women have better intuition though with that. My mom has been saying that for years.
Women's
like with
intuition,
Survivor,
agreed.
My mom's like, okay, the women of Survivor have better instincts and intuition when it comes to people. Carolyn, for instance, we hear her saying, I don't trust Dan. He's a huge advantage. He's a huge threat right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the perfect power position because I'm smack dab in the middle, which I think Carolyn's been playing a pretty brilliant game because she has been. Mm-hmm. She's always exploring her opportunities and was willing to jump when it's most advantageous to her game.
Mm-hmm. I think last night just made her look like a rock star. And I mean, we're both from Queens. I'm just like, Queens represent.
Yeah, she made a great move. And, you know, I agree. I think she's been playing a really good game. I think if there was one fault, because there isn't many, you know, faults that I can pick out on her game, is just the pre-merge, which is with her relationship with Shireen. And I felt like there was a lot of times where she was unable to kind of let go of her personal beef with Shireen. And that kind of like she let that fume over and kind of, you know, get in her game. But other than that, I almost say she's played a flawless game.
I agree. A lot of people in the live chat right now are saying hashtag delusional Dan. And then we also have T Power saying Dan is his own biggest fan. And Misha C is saying, yep, Dan is totally his only fan. Poor Dan.
I mean, I we talked about this earlier. I've disagreed with a lot of things that Dan has said this season, and I can completely see why people kind of vilify him. But, you know, I feel a little bit bad for Dan.
I do, too. It can't be easy to watch. Granted, he did say all those things, so you can't be like, oh, it's a bad edit.
Right.
But they are just... I mean,
my argument with you is I was on a reality show 2 years ago. So going into it and you're being filmed, and I'm sure you can relate, Monica, is that you're playing the game. And so you know in the moment what your intentions are and how you are coming across. Like you're aware of like you. No one else is. So when people watch it, they're just putting words in your mouth and assuming like, oh my gosh, you're such an asshole or you're being like this and you said that. Well, in that moment, I had the purest of intentions. I didn't think half of America would think that I'm a bad guy because of that. So that's why I feel bad for him, is because in the moment, we don't know what Dan was really thinking
sure.
But at the same time, like, you have to know that some of the things you're saying are offensive and just wrong.
Yeah,
delusional Dan.
But I think in his mind, I think in his deluded, you know, sense of thinking, it's, oh, I'm playing through the camera, I'm trying to be funny. And, you know, sometimes that just doesn't come across well. I mean, we saw at the beginning of the season when he called Rodney's mom a whore.
Oh my
God. I don't
know
if I'm allowed to say that, but yeah.
I remember that.
Well, he did say in an interview why.
He
and that, after I read that interview, I was like, okay, this is where it goes back to. In the moment, the way it was edited, it made it look like he just came out of nowhere and said that to him, but it was completely stripped out of context for editing's sake, that he's like, Rodney and I are going back and forth, doing stuff, you know, with each other in camp, and all they use is that soundbite, and I'm like, yeah, so that's why you can kind of feel bad for Dan, that it's like, some stuff is misconstrued.
Yeah, I know. I think Dan would be like the kind of, you know, if he ever had like a stand-up show, you know, he'd be like the kind of stand-up comedian who, you know, would say a joke, and then there'd be no laughs in the audience, and then, you know, you'd be like, okay, awkward.
Cricket.
But, you know, I don't know. He's a fan. I feel bad because I know he's been wanting to get on the show for so long, and I can only imagine, oh, here's my dream, and now it's literally just turned into a nightmare.
And he keeps saying that in a lot of his interviews.
Well, at least he's not forgettable.
Right.
He got what he wished for. Be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
It might come true.
Do you think they'd ever bring him back?
No.
Really?
I don't think so. I think they might. Really?
Like a heroes versus villains?
Something like that specific? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say so. Because he did get what he wished for. He's memorable. I don't like him. I love to hate him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, the way I think about it is that there's always going to be contestants that, America in general doesn't like.
Right.
But when you have like a returnee season or whatever, you definitely have to have those people that you pull against and you pull for. I mean, a great season, you definitely want to pull for some people that you really like, and you want to pull against the people that you hate. Mm-hmm. And this season, I think a lot of people have hated Dan, and it's actually made for a better season.
Hey, that's true. You gotta appreciate big personalities, because that's what makes good TV. By the way, in the live chat right now, Sheena123 says, Monica, you look so beautiful. And then 2536B says, William, you're the man. Just want to throw some compliments your way.
Thank you.
So going on to the reward challenge. Well,
can we go back to how Mike and Carolyn are besties?
Out of nowhere,
BFF forever.
Late night beach talk.
What did he call her? He called her his angel or something.
His angel. Yeah. I was like, what is happening right now?
And that's actually when Carolyn spills the bean about Dan having an advantage, and Mike's like, what?
Yeah.
I'm confused. An extra vote? And
yeah.
So,
and last night, I go to USC here in LA. I'm a film student, and I invited all of the, like, I found all the diehards on campus. So we have like weekly parties, watching Survivor. We're just like, oh my God, it's going to be a really great episode. It was like the first moment we're like, okay, something big is going to go down. And there was a lot of gasping at that moment. So I loved that.
For sure.
Laughing to myself. I have to give a shout out to Drew Hilliard right now in the live chat.
Drew Hilliard played with you in your season of my game.
I played his game. And he said his best chance of ever coming back is to play William's game on Facebook.
True. Which a lot of, even real contestants have played the game to kind of get practice if they come back again, too. So, but yeah. Anyway, moving on.
That's funny, though. His only chance to come back. So, yeah. Mike and Carolyn are now becoming best friends. Carolyn's obviously exploring her options, trying to see what she can play
around
with.
Which is smart. Mm-hmm. Don't get comfortable in your alliance. It's like the worst idea ever.
Mm-hmm. And she said it could be a turning point in the game, and I completely agree, which we saw.
Agreed.
At the Tribal Council. In the reward challenge, there were two teams of three competing to win a helicopter ride to enjoy a surf and turf with a glass of wine. Sierra, Dan, and Rodney were a team versus Will, Carolyn, Mike. Which team were you rooting for to win the reward?
Not pulling against Rodney? Yeah. I mean,
you kind of just know
purposes.
Who's going to lose. Yeah. Yeah.
And they've been building it. If you go back to, like, the earlier episodes, too, they've been, like, kind of planting seeds. We didn't really know. Like, I mean, there'd be a couple episodes where Jeff would be like, oh, you want to let Rodney take your place, Dan? Like, this was, like, way back. And we kind of didn't know why they were showing us this. And then now it just keeps building. We're like, this guy has the worst luck. And I love his misfortune. I hate to say it. I do, too.
And I loved how Jeff kind of said a reward. There's a reason why it's called a reward. You earn it. Yeah. And it's like, Rodney, if you want to go on.
Mike said that, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, I think Jeff was kind of like perpetuating that thought. Like, it's a reward. Like, do you feel entitled? Like, is that what it is? Entitlement, that you feel that people should give you a reward because you haven't had one? Like, would you give up a reward, Monica?
No.
Yeah. What's the point?
I was going to ask because it seems like the most recent seasons they've been doing this whole back and forth about, hey, I'll give you my spot in the reward. I don't remember them doing that, like,
not
you know,
in the earlier
unless
seasons.
It's like the last couple seasons we've been talking about. Mm-hmm.
No,
did
I would
ever
never.
Happen?
No, I would. That just wouldn't happen.
Well, Carolyn said it the perfect way, is that this is my Survivor experience too. Like, I'm not
right. This is once in a lifetime for me too.
Yeah,
sorry,
like, why
Rodney.
Would I give you?
Not only that,
the
like they completely botched the challenge. Like they could the balls. Can we discuss the balls being left behind? Like, what was that?
And then they couldn't even do the puzzle. And Sierra was on the right track. She said fixin'. And Dan's like, no, that's not right. So Dan, once again, he can't do puzzles. We saw it in an earlier challenge.
Because I actually wrote that down because I called that. I'm like, oh, Sierra, she figured it out pretty early on, but she didn't have the S at the end. So she was so close, but it wasn't fixin', it was fixins or whatever.
Right.
But I didn't think it was like an obvious, like Jeff was making it sound like he said it every episode. I was like, what is that saying?
I wouldn't have guessed it at all. Those puzzles are hard in the moment. I will say the pressure's on, you're hungry. you're tired, you're dehydrated, and it just doesn't even make any sense. They're hard. They're really hard. But I've never seen one last that long, I'll tell you that.
It was so funny, too. Like, I mean, as a film student, I love, like, the editing of Survivor, and it was so funny to see, like, I've never seen them edit a challenge like that. I mean, they basically made the entire cast kind of look like inept people.
Right.
But it was actually a hard challenge. I can understand why it would last an hour, but it was really funny how it was put together, I thought.
So, fixin'.
Joseph Boza said, I don't think the word puzzle should have taken 1 hour. These people are morons.
Or as Abby Maria would say it, you guys are morons. You're idiots.
The winners of this challenge were Carolyn, Mike, and Will. No surprise there. I mean, Will, he's dead weight, but Carolyn, Mike on your team, like, you're obviously going to win. So Will got lucky.
Now, I want to know how much Jeff cued them off, because he was giving them clues along the way. And my favorite comment was Sierra saying, like, I'm not even listening to Jeff. Like,
you should probably listen to Jeff at this point. Yeah.
This would be when you do listen to him. You don't listen to him when he's like, oh, running behind. You know, you're never going to catch up. That's when you're like, okay, just stop.
Well, it's funny that earlier you brought up the fact that during the auction, how Mike stepped forward and then was like, eh, and took it back and then went back to it. When they were talking about the possibility of giving the reward up to Rodney, when Carolyn was talking about it, like, I'm like, you are literally just rubbing salt in the wound. You should just keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm not going to give it.
Right. The fact that you're
even, like, battling it and being vocal about it is going to make you look like an ass to Rodney, which, of course, we saw at camp later on. Rodney was not very happy with her.
Oh my God, but if I have to hear about the birthday one more time.
At this point, it's great, though. Oh my God.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, being on Survivor is enough birthday gift for me.
Like, okay, just birthday that experience. Boy, like, chill out, right?
You're on Survivor. Enjoy it.
Is he one of those people that have, like, a birthday month? Like, it just keeps going.
He probably parties with all the girls in Miami. It's my birthday.
That was pretty good. That was a good impression. I loved it.
Now, do you think Rodney invited any of his cast members to celebrate his birthday this year? Because didn't he just have a birthday, like, as the show? It was like,
popped up on social media about it being his birthday. So that's a good point.
That's hilarious.
I wonder who he
invited. Yeah, of course he did. Of course he invited them and the girls. And they party. They go to the club.
I wonder how he celebrated.
But no, I agree. I thought that Carolyn... Okay, there's like two different things that you can do there. You can either say, hey, I'm giving you my reward. Or you pretend like nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Now, she made it like this dramatic moment where she, you know, you have her like, if you're
gonna
him.
If you're going to make it dramatic, might as well just give it up.
But you're right. It's the same thing that Mike did. It's revealing your hand and then going back on it. So everyone knows that there was a dilemma. Now, if she had just played it off like, oh, it passed my mind. You know, I was so excited to have a helicopter ride. You know, I didn't even think about it. I mean, I'm sorry. I was just looking forward to an adventure, you know? But yeah, I don't think that was a very good move on her part.
Yeah, but I do think it was a good idea she didn't give it up
because it
gave her an opportunity at the reward to really hear Mike out a little bit more about sticking together, tribal council. The only one that was really on the fence was Will, and he was just flat out like, you're public enemy number one. Like, why would I team up with you? I just don't get Will's mentality in the game. Like, where
he hasn't really played very hard.
No.
He just kind of made it that far based on luck, it seems like.
And no one likes him. I mean, I don't think he would win. So people are like, oh, we'll just get him, keep him around.
Yeah, I mean, but if I were Mike, I would be rushing to take Will to the end. Mm-hmm. Or if I were Carolyn, I mean, Will is like in the best position to go to the end because no one's going to want to vote for him to give him $1 million.
No, but then again, if I was Will, I also wouldn't want to bring Mike. I just wouldn't say to Mike's face, oh, no, I'm not thinking about you. I would say, yeah, of course.
Exactly.
I mean, but again, no one wants to go with Mike, so I don't blame Will on that aspect. But yeah, Will's a non-entity. It's clear that he doesn't watch Survivor or has had no prior knowledge. I mean, you know, he was on
that Jay Leno show. Yeah, they just tell him what to do, and he does it.
Yeah.
Zanzu in the live chat said, Will's mentality is that he just doesn't know how to play Survivor. I would say, yeah, that's
pretty accurate. But we do have to remember his big move, which he did have one big move this season, which is when he voted off Vince, which, again, I didn't think was the right move, but it was a move. So, I mean, he's done more than Sierra? But I mean, has she done anything really?
I say Sierra has done more than Will.
Okay.
Because Sierra's always weighing out her options, and she's always been voting in the majority has benefited her game, and she's still never a target. Mm-hmm. So she's at least doing something, and she's talking about game more than Will has.
You don't even really get an opinion from Will.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-hmm. I just kind of forget
he's
even there.
What is he saying in his confessionals? Yep. Because they are there. I mean, they are asking him questions. 100%. They're pulling him out of the shelter. They're saying, Will, what do you think about this? And I would love to hear, what are you saying? That they're not showing any of it. Is it that worthless?
It's kind of bad. It's probably. I mean, Sierra, too, though. I mean, like, these, they're just, they must not be giving the cameras
you
anything.
You hear from her more, though, I'd say, than
Will.
Yeah.
Like, slightly though. More. I mean, barely hear from her.
Well, especially when she's talking about the battling of, like, her options. Because she's a good narrator in that sense. She's like, well, I have this opportunity on the table, and I have this opportunity at the table.
Which reminds me a lot of Monica Culpepper in Wondrous Water, which was every episode she was like, oh, I could do this, but I could also stay here. And then she always just played it safe, and you're like, dang it, you're such a tease. I want you to, you know, mix things up. Which is, again, good gameplay. She's always, you know, you're right, Sierra's always in the majority. I don't think she's making any bad moves, but again, I mean, I know people disagree when Jeff says you have to make a move in this game, but I do think that you have to put something on your resume so that when you're in the end, it's not like, you know, when you're Natalie Tannarelli and, you know, you're saying, oh, I voted with Boston Rob and did, you know, just there's, you have to have something.
You can't give someone else credit for a move.
You can't just say, oh, my game was weighing out my options. I mean, that's not, I'm not going to give you my vote.
That's everyone's game. Yeah. But back at camp, Rodney is obviously upset with Carolyn, and because of the move Carolyn had with the reward, now she has a target on her back. Rodney's like, okay, if Mike wins, Carolyn's going to go home for sure. Dan's like, I need to make his birthday better, and goes off into the jungle and comes back with two melons, some fruit.
Okay.
I think I know what you're going to say, because I think I feel the same.
Where have they not been looking?
Thank you! That's in my notes!
I mean, they're it's like, it's right there. He's like, oh, wow. Breadfruit.
We have fruit on
He's
our
like,
beach.
I don't know what this is, but yum.
Do you think Rodney just complained so much that the producers were like, hey, can you run to the like the nearest like you know supermarket, get two watermelons,
and just
and
drop
hide
them
at
right
camp?
There?
You know, and just, I like, show like the
about
camera
that.
Showing.
They'd have to literally have to like plant it because he picked it
oh,
off
that's
of
true.
The stem.
Because yeah,
I went
yeah.
back, I was like, were they just sitting there? Yeah. I mean, there's two beautiful, lovely pieces of fruit.
It made
fruit.
No sense
they're,
to me.
Usually they're not like that, though. They're not going to just put something out there. They want you to suffer.
Yeah, but that's all that Rodney needed, right? Like
his sustenance.
He was happy. He's like, I'm ready to go now, bro. I'm ready. I'm like, let me at it.
You see what a meal could do? You see what a meal could do?
Oh, Rodney.
When everyone returns back from the reward, we talk. There's a little bit of scrambling going on before the immunity challenge. Mike approaches Sierra about how Dan isn't going to take her to the finals. He's like, Dan's crazy to take you. He's not going to take you. He's going to bring Will and Rodney over you. It's the only best case scenario for him. And I'm thinking, if that's the case, I might vote Rodney over Dan. Like, I just don't see Dan having a best case scenario at all, if that's the final three. But that's his argument to Sierra, and it makes sense. And he kept saying over and over, just like, you want to come with me. Like, this is it. You want to do this. And Sierra obviously talks about not wanting to sit next to Mike in the final three because that would be shooting herself in the foot, which is also
true.
Which
I was like,
100%.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, but it's suicide if you go up against Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't vote for him, you know? So I don't know.
I think
she's weighing out her options, ladies and gentlemen.
Gotta hand it to Sierra. Before we move forward to talk about the immunity challenge and the tribal council, I just want to remind everyone who's watching live right now, there are 47 of you on YouTube watching. So hi, thank you for watching. Make sure you go to iTunes, rate, comment, and subscribe there to the AfterBuzz TV podcast, and give our video right now a thumbs up. I know you see that thumbs up under the video. Just press thumbs up and then share the link with all your friends. It's that easy, that simple. All right, now that we got that out of the way, let's talk about the immunity challenge. It was so neck and neck.
Such a good immunity.
When it came down to Mike and Sierra, there was a moment I was like, oh my God, Sierra might actually take this.
Yeah. We were screaming.
I was too.
Screaming. I mean, it was insane. We were like, oh, it's just the, I mean, the room was
were
just
going crazy.
Were
you watching with other survivors?
No, I was watching with my boyfriend.
Okay, nice. Got it. Yeah, I really for a second thought Sierra was going to take it. And I was like, well, Mike is done for. At least he's on the second chances ballot. Yeah.
Actually, I was watching with other survivors. I'm not going to lie. I was watching with Jerry Manthe and Ryan Carrillo.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so much fun. And it was just screaming throughout the entire thing.
It was honestly, in my opinion, one of the best immunity challenges in a long time, meaning that I was completely invested. I was nervous. I had, like, sweaty palms. And when he pulled out that win, and it took forever for that stupid ball to get in that hole, I'm like, come on. But when it happened, like, I jumped out of my seat. And everyone who was at, you know, my party, my Survivor party, was just like, okay, calm down. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like,
no,
Mike needed to win.
I was freaking out. Yeah.
Because otherwise we'd be boring.
It was so exciting. It was really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. So much fun to watch.
When Dan got to the puzzle maze before, the ball maze before a lot of the people, I was like, oh my God, if Dan pulls out an immunity win right now, I'm literally just going to turn off the TV.
But you know what?
I was just dreading that.
About Dan, and I know I'm the one, I'm defending him a lot tonight, but another good thing I will say about Dan is he's been really good at challenges, like, this season. I don't know if you've noticed, but despite, like, you know, him calling himself the fat guy, but he's done pretty well. I don't know, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He surprised me, I should say.
He did surprise me a little bit, for sure. I guess I would have expected his performance to be more along the lines of what Will's performance is.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is a whole nother story.
Sorry, I'm trying to catch up in the live chat. It's blown up. A lot of people talking about Mike, obviously, which we've already been talking about that enough. So, obviously, Mike wins immunity, saved his butt. Let's talk about Tribal really quick, and then we'll talk about second chances. Tribal, I saw a lot of stuff on social media about, like, okay, Tribal's so great, and I'm like, why is this so amazing? Like, what's happening? And finally, when Dan said I've been pulled out his advantage, I was like, all right, this makes sense to me. And then I was like, that's perfect. I think Carolyn not telling people she had an immunity idol was the best thing you could have done.
Right.
Obviously, note to future survivors, don't tell anyone you have an idol. Just don't ever do it. Because Tyler kept his word, which I thought was stupid. Tyler should have told people that Carolyn had an idol. But because no one knew.
I think it's good to tell one person. I don't know. I think it really solidifies, you know, it's so hard, and I've never played, but it's so hard to trust someone. And I think if someone were to show me an idol, that trust would be there, and I'd be a Tyler, and I'd be voted out blindsided.
True. I mean, that's a good point.
I think one person. Now, when you get into trouble is when you tell, like, a whole tribe, you know? Like, there's been a couple times in Survivor where they're like, hey, everyone, I'm hanging this on the tree. And I'm like, what are you doing? This is the tribe.
Like Tony, when Tony was like, would always wear it to tribal.
Oh, he had multiple.
Play it. Right. So, but he would, know, like, just wear it just as, like, intimidation. Like, I'm not going anywhere, so I don't know, but I thought the Tribal Council was really great. If Carolyn didn't play her idol, she absolutely would have gone home.
Oh my God, her happy dance, she was like, yeah.
So good. I loved it.
It was a good move.
Now, what about Dan's move, though?
Okay, we talked about this in the car. Dan obviously did the best move. Because he didn't have any prior knowledge of Carolyn having an idol, he did the best move by using that then, because he knew his name was out there to be voted out. So it's like, why not use it now and make sure the person that you talked about going home goes home?
He had no knowledge that Carolyn had an idol, so I don't think it was a bad move, because you don't want to use it on an odd number, because it'll make it an even vote, and therefore a tie. You want to use it on an even number, so that when his extra vote will make it an odd number.
Right.
So I think he made the right decision. It's just, you know, ultimately for him, they chose the wrong person.
The wrong person. Yeah. As a former player, Monica, what do you think about this advantage? Because it's never been in Survivor before.
It's pretty crazy. I think it's smart to try and save it for as long as you can, so when you're really in danger. But I think it would have been better for him to try and solidify some other votes alongside with him. And then that would have, may have guaranteed his shot in the game. Mm-hmm. So if they maybe could have split the vote at some point. But the problem is everybody doesn't like Dan. So that's a lot easier to say than to do when you're in Dan's position.
Well, it's probably going to be back for second chances. I mean, it's a great twist, I think. So
absolutely.
I feel
like they're just going to throw
everything. Twist.
Yeah. Everything with the kitchen sink is going into this season.
Exile Island, Redemption Island,
and
Hidden Idols.
They're going to change it each week, right?
No,
so
no
you
redemption
just never know. Please, no Redemption Island.
Well, then it can't be second chances. It would be third chances if there was, you know, a Redemption Island.
True.
So, I don't know. I really hope there's no Redemption Island.
I hope so, too.
Well, speaking of second chances, now that we've wrapped up pretty much that episode, Monica, thank you for joining us today, by the way.
Thank you for having
me. How exciting the opportunity to go back a second time to play Survivor. Did you ever expect to get the phone call? Like, what was that initial moment like when you got the phone call?
It was pretty crazy. I was at work, and I had just started a new firm, and so I was just learning the ropes and getting a hold of all of my clients, and I got the phone call, and I just freaked out. I saw a private number, and it always comes in private number. You never know where they're calling from.
Right.
And they asked me if I would be up for doing this new great thing, which would be Second Chance, which is what they've announced now. And I was like, I'm all in. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Tell me where to go. It's like, you're going to have to campaign. It's going to be a big thing.
So you always knew that it was going to be America's Vote?
Right.
Okay.
Always knew it was going to be America's Vote. And I was like, I don't care. I'm all in. And I was, I remember I trying to whisper into my phone so that other people in the office wouldn't hear. I closed my door.
I was like, being a secret aunt.
Yeah, I specifically remember that and just going, yeah, I'm there. I'm good to go. Let's go. Let's do this.
I love it. Sorry, Marty Beats in the chat right now said, Monica, you won my vote over tonight.
Thank you.
Speaking of the vote.
I'm trying to win votes.
Yeah. Well, I've been following you on social media because I've been voting for you ever since it opened up. I was a huge fan of yours on Samoa.
Thank you.
You're a little underrated, which is why I'm excited for you to come back.
Thank you. Fingers crossed.
Your campaign's pretty good. I loved that on Twitter the other day. You said if this tweet gets retweeted, I think,
139 times. Survivor numbers.
I love it. 139. You would run down Hollywood Boulevard in your buff bikini and the tube socks that you wore on the show, right?
Yes.
Obviously that happened. So.
We've hit it. So wow. I am doing it. I'm going all in. I was going to do it today, but it's in the rain. I kind of want to like run around. I mean, I'm a survivor, so I should be used to the rain.
Especially in your season.
Exactly. I think tomorrow's going to rain too. So it might be more entertaining if it is in the rain.
Yeah.
But I'm going for it.
And it might not be so busy either. So you would have that whole boulevard to yourself.
I know. But I was thinking maybe by doing it, I could get some votes too from people.
On the street.
Yes, exactly. Like, what are you doing? What's this vote for Monica thing? It's like, oh, funny you should ask.
Keeps the conversation going.
Exactly. So I'm excited to do it. I'm a little nervous. I mean, this whole week has been so nerve-wracking. You just never know what's going to happen. And I don't know. I'm tossing and turning at night for sure.
Oh, I imagine. I want to give you a chance to plead, but we have drawn up our like cast of who we've been voting for over the last few days of the week since it opened up. So we have graphics of who I've endorsed, who's William's been endorsing. So
now my vote is up for grabs, though. Okay, so I'm just gonna put that out there.
What about me?
I mean, forgive me in advance.
So do we have one of them up already? I'm trying to figure out whose cast everyone's seeing. Oh, okay. Your cast that everyone's seeing is yours, William.
Okay.
And so Monica is not on that list.
I'm sorry.
So,
hey, but you know what? Now that you're here, I mean, who knows? Tonight, okay. it could be, you could take the place of someone.
I forgive you.
Who are some standouts on your cast?
To me, I think you can't have the cast without Cass, Sierra. For guys, it would be the two that I think you'd have to have is Spencer, and if Mike doesn't win, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Old school, I would love to see Savage back. I would love to see, obviously, Kelly Wigglesworth back.
The ultimate second chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a couple others that I had, but, you know, I know we're running out of time.
Just to name a few. All right, then my cast.
Oh, and Abby Maria. I would think Abby Maria.
For my cast, Monica, of course, I have you up on my list that I've been voting for. But in other people, I'm a huge fan of old school seasons because that's what I grew up on. My first season was Australian Outback, so that's like my season that got me hooked to the show. So to see Jeff and Kimmy come back, especially because they were on a tribe together. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but because Jeff got voted out because of Kimmy opening her mouth. Like, I would just love to kind of see that old school reunion in a second chance setting. But also Teresa Cooper, I love the moms and she's an old schooler. Kelly Wigglesworth, because she's the original runner-up and would be a great second chance.
I forgot obviously, Shane.
Shane's a great one. I have Shane on my list.
And
do
Terry.
I have
Shane and Terry.
I don't know if I have Shane, but I definitely have Monica, because like I said, I think you're an underrated player. Like, I thought you were great on Samoa, and I think you had so much more growth and potential to go.
I would agree. I would agree with this.
I would agree.
Thank you.
That's what the whole point of second chances is, right? You want people that are going to come back that had all the potential to win, but the odds were stacked against them, and I think that's my personal plea for you. But now is your chance. Why should everyone vote for you, Monica Padilla?
You know, I think I did show a little bit of what my game would look like if I was given another opportunity and if the cards were different in our situation. And even based on the foresight that I had when I played, I was one of the only people that said Russell might have the second idol. And no one really wanted to listen. And I could have pushed the envelope and just gone for it and gone with my gut. And I didn't. And it would have changed the game had I done so. So now going in, I know to trust my gut and not to be worried or having to go with the group. And so I think that's going to make for interesting gameplay for a second time around. I think I will make some bolder moves and it'll be more of a strategic play and not getting so comfortable with my alliance. And another thing is I've noticed that my last game was a lot of going to the end with my friends. And I think that that's a very novice Survivor way to look at it. I think we need to really go in looking at everyone that you're playing with and looking at day 39 from the first day that you're out there, and not necessarily based on who you like and who you want to hang out with, but who can you beat in front of a jury? That's mm-hmm. important. And I don't think I really thought about that from day one. It kind of was one of those things of I'll figure it out as it goes. So
perfect.
Well, I remember back to Samoa when the episode that you were booted out, I was like, okay, this girl, she needs to stay. Because they didn't show a lot of anyone else other than Russell in that yeah. season.
Right.
But in that episode, I was like, okay, first off, where has this girl been the entire season? And well, second off, why, as soon as we like really start like knowing her, does she get voted out?
I know, it's crazy. And I did try to stay a little quieter in the beginning and not become a threat too early on. But now I know I can just speak up, especially in confessionals. I'm not trying to pick fights with anyone or cause a ton of drama, but when the opportunity presents itself, I'm going for it.
Just yes. don't play to the camera as much as Dan did, because then you'll
gosh.
Have some trouble.
Oh my gosh, he's such a ham in a bad way.
Well, Monica, it seems like you're doing a great job with your campaigning and with your plea just now. Everyone in this chat is saying Monica deserves to be voted back in.
Yay!
Monica is fierce. It's perfect. Yeah, Monica certainly has my vote, so it looks like we've done a great job tonight. Jorge Alvarado, Monica is fierce. She deserves everyone's vote. So I concur. I agree. Hopefully we won you over tonight, William.
You've won me over. I'm there.
Thank you.
So we only have a few more minutes left, so let's just dive into predictions really quick because the finale is next Wednesday. I'm just curious to know.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I'm just really curious to know what you think is going to happen next week for the finale. Who's going to win?
I want to say Mike.
Yeah. I mean, again, I keep bringing back film school, but like, you know, I know editing, and
right,
I think
right.
that
he has the
I just
edit.
He has the edit. No one else really has that edit, with the exception of Carolyn.
Yeah,
but during the middle of the season, she saw nothing of
Carolyn.
Her.
Kind of went. That's why I was like, maybe she is going to win because they're just trying to show other people.
Well, I mean, it is very similar to like how Natalie was betrayed last season. Like she was a non-entity, and then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, kind of she just came out of the woodwork later in the season, and she kind of just went for it. But I don't know. I think he's going to win out. I think he's going to win. I hate saying it because it's such a naive thing to say, but I think that he's going to win the rest of the immunity challenge. He's going to get to the final three. I would say he's going to be in the final three with definitely Will and potentially Rodney. Yeah.
In the final three?
Yeah.
Interesting. So you think
I would love if he brings Carolyn, but I don't think he would.
I think the final three is going to be Carolyn, Mike, and Sierra.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I forgot about Sierra. It's going to be Sierra, Will, and Mike. That's it.
Another reason why I think Mike's going to win is because the whole season, like a storyline that's been pretty relevant is a blue collar is going to win. Mm-hmm. Like the moment they put that soundbite in with Lindsay at the beginning of the show, I'm like, okay, someone from this tribe is going to win. There's no reason
which
why.
Which friend that we work harder than anyone? Right. Is that the one you're talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah. And I just,
but I wanted a no collar so bad.
I loved a no, I would have been a no collar
that entire
sure.
tribe, with the exception of Will. He's the last one.
So yeah, we're all pretty much across the board. Mike's gonna win.
I think Mike's gonna win, but I think Carolyn's gonna go to the end. I think that mm-hmm. that scene that we got to see at the reward challenge is setting up for that. Mm-hmm. That was the change, and so I think it might be Will, Mike, and Carolyn. But
we'll see. Interesting.
I think it'll be a great final because Carolyn and Mike would give each other a run for their money because right. they're both players and they respect the game. And
I think it's
they
a
both
risky move.
I think they're too
Carolyn.
Smart to bring each other to the end. But I would
true.
Love that universe. Like, yeah. I would love
true.
That. Just like I would have loved to have had, like, a Cass and Tony final two rather than, well, I know he's a potential nominee, but then, like, a Wu and, I don't know, I just wasn't, you know, I was like the strongest of the strongest.
He had his chance. don't even get me started on Wu.
But could we, I know we're running out of time.
Oh, yeah, please.
Do you think that there's ever going to be a bitter jury? Like, is there going to be that speech that we talk about in years past?
I don't think so if it's Mike. If Will's in the final three, 100% he's going to get backlash from some people. But with Carolyn and Mike, no. I don't think there'll be any backlash with either of them.
No. I think everyone respects their game pretty much, mm-hmm. and they've played really well.
Yeah, cool.
And then I'll just one last thing. So I did bring up my game earlier. So basically, it's all over Skype. There have been real Survivor contestants to have played it. There might be one coming up in season 9. It has a rich history, a great alumni base, and I'm casting for season 9 coming up sometime this summer. So contact me on Facebook if you're interested. There is a casting process. You will be playing with 18 strangers,
so
and
it,
is a crazy experience.
I will say,
you should do it. It's a lot of fun. He's been trying to get me to play for years, and then I finally was like, you know what? I'll do it. Why not? It was the most fun I ever had. I'm friends with complete, now they're friends. We were strangers from all over the country, and I loved the community. It brings all these Survivor fans together. And I think after having experienced being on a show, the mental game is there and the emotional game for yours.
The only thing you don't have is the island, which is, you know, if you wanna play Survivor, and you wanna have practice, or if you never wanna go out on an island and you just want the experience of the social game, SF is the closest thing that I really do think that you will get.
And you can eat and drink while you play. Mm-hmm. What more could you ask for?
Exactly.
So, Monica, one more time, where can they find you on social media, and how can they vote for you to come back for Second Chance?
Okay, so you can go to MonicaPadilla7, and that's on Instagram and Twitter. I also have a Facebook fan page, Monica Padilla, the official Survivor Samoa. I'm posting tweets every day. I'm posting fun pictures, fun reasons to vote for me, and usually in my post on Instagram, on my profile, there's a bit.ly, and it'll take you directly to where you need to vote on the CBS website, Survivor Second Chance. So click it and go for it. Retweet my tweets. Get the word out there. I feel like I'm in the middle there, so I really need as big of a push as possible. So I need all of the fans and everyone whose minds I've changed with all these podcasts and everything to just change their mind and get on and vote and tell their friends to vote, tell their plumbers to vote, tell the mailman to vote. I'm saying tell the cable guy. Like, get the word out. If you have to make a login for your grandmother, make a login for your grandmother, because we know grandma's not on Facebook, right? So
I mean,
let's do this. I really want to go back, and I don't want to be sitting in the audience and not have my name called.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be like the Oscars when they show like even the people that don't get it?
Oh my god, I think they're going to show it. I mean, that's TV. I mean, why would they all be there if they weren't going
like,
to show
to
it?
To me, it's like Hunger Games, and I love
it. It is Hunger Games,
it.
And I love
everyone will have to pretend to be, you know, supportive, like, oh yes, I'm so happy, and it's just
what
you're
if someone just has a meltdown. Oh, and God. Just starts cursing and like
you never
flipping
know.
Chairs. What happens?
Yeah, I think that no matter what happens, people disagree, but I think that everyone now that you're on the list has a potential of coming back if it's not this season. Like, I think the 12 people who don't get on will probably have a chance later on in the future.
We were just talking about this, and someone was saying, if you don't make it this time around, you're not making it at all. So that's what someone else said, and
crazy.
I was like, ooh, maybe. That means America really doesn't want to see you.
You never know, though. There's a reason why you're on the ballot. That means they've considered you,
exactly.
And now is the perfect time, so you never know.
I wouldn't mind seeing all 32 come back at different points.
Watch it, like, surprise, all 32. We're leaving.
Oh my god,
the longest
could you imagine?
So good. William, where can they find you on social media?
Facebook. Sorry, I don't have a Twitter, but Facebook, William Yelton, Yelton, should be written up on the screen somewhere. So yeah.
Perfect.
Facebook me.
And you can find me on Twitter at James Wallington and Instagram at James.Wallington. And on YouTube, my travel vlog, Where's Wallington? You can subscribe to my channel and follow me on all my adventures because I'm going to Ecuador in a month. So you can follow me on my little
Survivor
jungle
Ecuador.
Excursion. Yeah, right? So one more time, hashtag vote Monica.
Vote
it's
for
that
her.
Simple, you
vote
guys.
For Monica.
And we'll be back next week for the finale, and we'll see you then. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Do you follow up?
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.